Train travel remains mostly a fond memory for people who live in the Valley. Phoenix is the nation's fifth largest city, but still doesn't have Amtrak passenger train service, and that has been the case since 1996. But a presentation Amtrak gave last month indicates its leaders want to expand transportation corridors across the country, and that could include Phoenix as part of expansion in the West and Southwest. To learn more about the current state of rail travel and where Phoenix could fit in, I'm joined by Seth Kaplan. He's the transportation analyst for NPR's Here and Now and a reporter for Nexstar television stations. Seth, are people pushing for increased rail travel right now with Amtrak talking about spending $25 billion on corridor expansion?
Pent-up demand is a thing that exists in lots of industries. The idea that if you, well, to use the old Field of Dreams analogy, if you build it, they will come, right? Mm-hmm. And with rail service, this is what Amtrak and rail advocates are saying, is that there is all kinds of demand for service that doesn't exist right now. And Amtrak has cited examples in recent years of some of these corridors, short-haul corridors especially, where almost accidentally they've become very popular. In some cases, just as vehicle traffic has gotten worse on the roads. So corridors like Milwaukee-Chicago, that's an example they've given. Washington down to Richmond and points south of there, even into upper North Carolina. Those are corridors that have become rather successful for Amtrak. And I mean, they weren't built with the idea of people, you know, maybe commuting between Milwaukee and Chicago or taking a day trip for business and various other things that people do in those routes, but they just have kind of worked accidentally. And so the idea is, well, what if you did this on purpose, right? What if you identified those corridors and built rail and provided the service levels that you'd need, the kinds of frequencies that you'd need to make it useful? Because in most of those places where it works, it's not, you know, one train a day, or in some cases right now in a lot of America, three trains a week coming through. That's not generally going to do it. It has to be something where at the right price, of course, but also the right schedule where people know, hey, if a meeting goes late or whatever kind of personal business they're doing, a party, whatever it is that they're traveling for, there's going to be another train a couple hours later, not days late.
So is there a difference, do you think, between what's going on in terms of different markets? You mentioned Milwaukee-Chicago. You also mentioned leaving the Beltway and going down as far as North Carolina. Is this a Midwestern, Eastern situation versus the West? Because obviously Phoenix, there have been people who have been calling for increased train travel here, and there's very little here in Arizona where people can get that done. Does that seem like an actual future bet for Amtrak to have a market like Phoenix to Tucson?
There are certain things, Steve, that are universal, and then there are certain things that are particular to markets that can make it maybe more challenging outside, as you mentioned, the Midwest and the Northeast. So just generally speaking, if you look at where rail works, not just in the U.S., but around the world, there's kind of a certain distance where it tends to work, right? Where, something that would be a 2-3-4 hour car trip, right? Just long enough that people might not want to get in the car, but just short enough that it wouldn't be worth flying, even if a flight exists. And in some of these markets they do and some they don't, because you got to get to the airport early and pass through security and all that. Whereas a train, you can generally show up right before the train goes and those sorts of things. So that's all universal. But then there are particular attributes of some cities where rail works well. So one of them, which would not be the case necessarily in the Valley down there, it would be a very dense city where lots of people can walk to the train station or take a bus or an urban rail system a short distance to the train system. That, of course, exists in Phoenix. There are people who live like that in other parts of the Valley, but that's not the predominant way that people live and work there. And the reason that matters is that when you're talking about replacing 2-3-4 hour car trips, once somebody is in a car, you know, to drive to a train station, for example, they're more likely to stay in that car, right? They're more likely to say, well, you know what? I'm in the car already. Tucson's only a couple hours away. I'm just going to keep going, right? It's not everybody. And again, if you get the price and the schedule right for with the train, you're going to lure people out of cars. Some of them, it's going to depend also on the price of gas at the moment and various other things that people take into account. But that is the additional challenge. It's not to say it can't work. And we see places even where the private sector has invested a lot. Florida, for example, right? There is a private rail system there backed partly by Richard Branson of Virgin Atlantic fame, where you know, it's not even just government subsidies, it's private money to a degree being put into the idea that people will take fast trains between Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, eventually Orlando and beyond. Now, mixed results so far, and obviously everything has been shaken up because of COVID-19, but that idea is out there. It's tougher though outside the Northeast and Midwest.
So Seth, as I mentioned earlier, we're talking about 2035, this discussion about Phoenix and Tucson, etc. So a lot of things can happen, obviously, in the next 15 years, though something like this needs a lot of planning time. But considering we're going to see changes between now and then, does this make sense for Amtrak to continue to project something like this, something like a Phoenix to Tucson? Does it make sense for their business model? Does it make sense to for where we are at in terms of our own transportation needs?
You're right. When it comes to infrastructure, whether it's rail or whether it's airport growth, you have to plan way out and then make adjustments as time goes on. And look, one thing that Phoenix has going for it is population growth, right? That's something else. Sure, there are things that make it tough maybe for rail to succeed there compared to a New York, Chicago, Boston, those kinds of cities. But those cities aren't growing rapidly, whereas Phoenix is. And so that's something that is surely on Amtrak's mind. It just looks at population growth and where people are going. There will be more demand in 2035, almost certainly, than there is in 2020, because there are going to be more people there, or at least they're expected to be. And if that turns out to be the case, then that should just at a baseline translate to more demand even before you get into sort of splitting hairs about what that demand might look like. And let's be honest, Amtrak has to think politically also, right? To get support for anything that will require public investing, it can't just show up with a plan that's all about the markets where it's currently succeeding in a small percentage of the country. If it's going to get the public at large across America behind a big investment in rail, it's going to have to be creative about finding things that work outside of the places where rail currently works, for reasons that in some cases date back hundreds of years, just the density of those old cities.
That is Seth Kaplan. He's a transportation analyst for NPR's Here and Now, also a reporter for Nexstar Television. Seth, always appreciate your time. Thanks.
Likewise, Steve. Thank you.